How to be prepared for the crisis. I think the word stay expresses what we are studying. How to stay prepared for the crisis. The five foolish virgins were unready. There was no time or source to supply their oil. Their lack was irreparable. If they had stayed in that state, they could have received a wonderful blessing. The scripture has a double application. Sometimes it has more than a double application. The coming of the bridegroom applied to 1844. Coming of the bridegroom parable also applies to the latter day. There is a sense in which it applies to the moment of death or the close of probation. It makes very little difference, whatever event it applies to, if we stay ready for that coming moment by moment. Part number one, daily self-denial. You will recall that each of the parts last week I prefaced with the word daily. I'm going to do that here too, for five parts. Daily self-denial, death. Daily surrender of the will. Daily accepting divine wisdom. Notice what James says. Read verses 7 to 11. There are seven areas. We are to submit to God. We are to resist the devil. We are to draw nigh to God. We are to wash our hands in the fountain. We are to purify our hearts. Hands are activities and hearts are thinking, willing. We are to be sorrowful for our sins. We are to humble ourselves. And then we are not to criticize or judge anyone else. This is a daily work. When I take up my cross, I kill myself. The cross is a gibbet. It's the electric chair. It's the place of immolation. Daily, self must die. Part number two, daily, I must be cleansed from my sins. Sin neutralizes all human abilities. It destroys the human potential. In the New Testament, the miracles that Christ wrought were to demonstrate the power of Christ to change human lives. The leper's body was filthy. He was cleansed. The blind man from birth had seen nothing. His eyes were opened. The deaf had never listened to the commands of God or the praises of angels. His ears were unstopped. The dumb had never spoken of God's love or witnessed to saving grace. His tongue was loosed. Dead, putrefying in the grave, were only the trophy of Satan, his plaything. The resurrector gave it life, that testified and witnessed to all of saving grace. The lame could not walk. Christ strengthened his limbs to go on the journey. So we could take each of the miracles and see in them spiritual truth. Jesus has the same power today to cleanse us from the leprosy of sin, to open our eyes by anointing us with the eye salve, by opening our ears to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to open our mouths to speak words of witness, our dead lives, trespasses and sins burying us, to walk in newness of life. The paralytic at his feet, agonized by his sinful life, felt hopeless. But the one who could forgive was the one who could empower to witness and to work. Part number three, daily victory. The word total is one that I don't use many times because I don't understand it. I'm not aware of the areas in which I need to be victorious. I am only to concern myself with those areas that the Spirit of God reveals to me. You will recollect that the 144,000 can recall no unconfessed sins, though their lives appear terrible to them. They are blameless. My 7-year-old granddaughter wrote a letter to her grandmother. There were spelling mistakes. There was wrong capitalization. But that letter is blameless. The first little epistle she wrote, the best she could do. Nobody censures her. But if she wrote a letter like that when she comes to graduate from high school, then she should be flunked. Blamelessness is used in the Bible to indicate that there is no known reason for condemnation. Every known sin must be broken off by the power of grace. Every cherished sin must be yielded to Christ. We may be surprised into sin, but we do not plan to sin. And so God looks at us as faultless before the throne of God. Now this kind of victory must be gained day by day, moment by moment, just as soon as the Spirit of God makes us aware. At that moment, victory should be claimed, and victory will be given. Part number 4, daily obedience. Daily obedience. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Well, you say, I keep the Sabbath, I pay my tithe, that's fine. But there may be areas in your life when the Holy Spirit says, go apologize to your wife. Go apologize to your child. Are you willing and obedient? Go apologize to your friend. Are you willing and obedient? Ask the Lord what He wants to do. He is the Lord. He calls the shots. His Holy Spirit brings impressions. How are we living daily in obedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit as we prepare for Christ's coming? Part number 5. A daily work of witnessing. Witnessing. We can witness in several ways. The most important way of witnessing is by a Spirit-filled life, a Christ-like life. We don't say anything verbally, but our actions are eloquent. We show by the way we live that we are disciples. This is the witness. The unconscious witness of a holy life is the most powerful evidence of the saving grace of God in the world today. How do we run our business? How honest are we? What are we doing? You can recall many stories of how simple honesty produced wonderful results. I like the story of the establishment of Porter Sanitarium in Denver, Colorado. A banker from Colorado by the name of Porter was spending a little time in Paradise Valley Sanitarium. One day as he walked down the corridor, he saw a young nurse feeding a stroke patient who could not feed herself. He was so touched by the compassion in this young nurse that he went away wondering what he could do about spreading this kind of love. When he got back to Denver, a week or so later, he got a letter from the manager saying that he was sorry that the sanitarium had overcharged him so many cents. And here was a check, less than a dollar. And so he wrote to the manager and said, next time you come through this way, come and visit me. And when the manager, Brother Rice, went through Denver next time, he called upon this man, whom he did not know, and discovered he was a wealthy banker. And the banker said, I'd like you to establish a hospital like Paradise Valley in my city. And so Porter Sanitarium was born. As a result of compassion and honesty on the part of an unnamed nurse and an unnamed accountant. Part number 6. When everything is over and Jesus returns in glory, there will be a wonderful reunion. There will be a great multitude, and there will be a Lamb. There will be the universe, and there will be the man of Galilee who is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They stood before the Lamb. You ever wondered why the final revelation of Christ was not a lion? It's a Lamb. What's God trying to tell us? On the throne of God, and the Lamb is in the midst of it. What is he trying to emphasize? The multitudes stand before the throne. Their position is permanent. They stand before the Lamb. They are unafraid in his presence. They are clad in white robes. They share his righteousness. They have palms in their hands. They exult in his victory. Their song is salvation to our God. They rejoice in his salvation. He is the beginning. He is the ending. He started the work of grace. He consummates it. At every step, Jesus is our Savior. And his representative on earth at the present time is the Holy Spirit, who opens to our mind's eye, who opens to our heart's gaze, the wonder of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Very soon he will be here in glory with the holy angels and the power of the Father. Very soon he will gather together his people. Choice is still ours. Will we be among them? Is he our God? Is he our Savior? Is he our Lord? Now. His word to us is, be ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Lord will come. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.